Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope, she bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. I feel it's going to pop off today because of this video. Get your comments in, as always. Interestingly, we've got a live poll going at the moment in relation to this ongoing Ederson drama. Would you rather sign Kone or Ederson? 92% of you would rather sign Kone over Ederson. And I think ultimately, I think that might be a lot of what's driving United fans in saying United should, you know, pull out of this Ederson deal. Primarily, I don't think a lot of people actually rate him that much. And obviously that adds a lot into it. Also, we're going to talk about what's happening with Kone. I got some good stuff about that. And what I believe is the tweet of the summer, and I didn't write it. It involves a fan on Twitter doing a tweet around a signing United should have made and absolutely maybe encapsulating how the United fan base feels about the lack of ambition in our board. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but I think it's an absolute banger and I think it's worth waiting for. But let's get straight into this Ederson story. We're going to drop a few truths this morning because I just feel that there is a lot. And you know what? It surprises me a little bit because throughout the season, we get all these people dropping info about injuries and everything like that. And they're not saying a bloody word about this Ederson stuff. It's really, really quiet. And I think there's no smoke without fire. And there's something going to drop big around Ederson very, very soon. I'm absolutely convinced about it. But let's delve into the truth of what's going on here, because I think we can piece the bits together very easily and tell you what is going on with Ederson, and then await, you know, the journalists and the, you know, maybe even Man United themselves to actually drop the truth. Because, and we can also probably reveal why they're not telling the truth, because I think PR, the player, you know, these things all probably are being taken into account. I got told last Sunday, so 5 days ago, I got told on Sunday that Ederson has got a knee injury, a knee issue. And that person knew about it the week before. So I got told that on Sunday from somebody I really do trust. So that's what I got told. We know that a medical took place somewhere last week, because loads of people are saying it. I know United haven't confirmed it yet, but we know something happened last week, potentially in the United States, Brazil, somewhere. So we know something previously has happened. Also, I think that what we do know as well is that this meniscus injury that he had at the start of the season is something to do with the knee, right? So those are things that we all pretty much know, right? United have signed Santos ridiculously quickly. And yet Ederson, he's having more tests this week. I don't think it takes a genius to figure out something's not right with Ederson and Man United and these medicals. I don't think that's a huge leap of faith, right? Now, Matty Moretto this morning is saying that this deal will basically happen, right? He's saying that Ederson is completing his medical tests in the next few hours with Man United's official communication on the transfer now on the way. So it sounds like this deal's going to happen, right? I'm not saying it's falling through. I think we should walk away, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but it sounds like the deal will happen now. But what we need to realise is that something has definitely gone wrong over the last week and a half, right? Now, whether the full truth will ever come out or not, there's definite, strong information about previous tests, knee issues, and United wanting to run those tests again this week. That's out there, okay? Doesn't take a lot of digging. There's also definitive information that he has got a meniscus injury that he had at the start of the season. Now, Atalanta, at the start of the season, said he was out for 4 weeks because of inflammation of the meniscus, right? When you look up inflammation, that can be from a tear. When you look at a tear, you either have a full operation, which keeps you out for 6 months, or they do some trimming of some sort of thing where he can be out for 4 weeks, which is probably what he may have had. There is an ongoing risk. There is an ongoing future risk with this injury, right? We mentioned Nabil Fekir going to Liverpool a few years ago, and they pulled out of a deal because they weren't 100% sure whether his knee was going to be okay in the future. I think it actually ended up being fine, but they still pulled out. So United have clearly got a decision to make here. I don't think the medical is going to show he's got an injury. I think the medical shows there's an issue there that might be a problem in the future. I think that's what it comes down to. And I think it comes down to whether United go, we don't want to do the deal because there might be an issue in the future, or we do want to do the deal and we'll take the risk. And I think that's where we are now. I think that is the truth. And I can't imagine when it does come out, if it does come out, the truth will be any different to that. I think it will be United are aware of this knee issue. It's flagged up in a medical. They've ran more tests again for second opinions, whatever. And they've made a decision based on that. And the decision is likely to be they're going to go ahead. Now, many people are going to go, why have they not put this out there? Why are they not being open and honest? Well, I think there's two reasons for that. One, the player. You've got to think about there's a human being involved. So if United had openly spoken over the last week about, look, there has been some concerns about a potential knee issue that he had, and we want to get him back to Manchester just to have a look at it with our doctors. You can understand why they'd keep that quiet, because the fan base would go into meltdown. The problem is, in the modern world, you can't keep it quiet. And secondly, United aren't very good at transfers. So if this deal falls through, they've got to go through the hassle of signing another player. Whereas if they do this deal, they've got two of their midfielders sorted. And also, the data probably says Ederson for £40 million is actually a decent signing. So United probably really, really want to do the deal. So they probably don't want to pull out. So it's in their interest to keep it quiet. Obviously, it's in the players' interest to keep it quiet. So I think that's why they've kept it quiet, because I think they want to do the deal. The problem is, football fans aren't stupid. People find information and pass it on, and it gets out there anyway. So it's out there anyway. And if United sign him, and then in the next 2 years he has a problem with his knee, we'll all remember this. So that's, for me, why United should be walking away. I think they should be walking away, because ultimately, I like Ederson. I've always liked Ederson. I've spoken about Ederson on this channel for years. But he's not better than Kone. He's not better than what's out there. I think he's quite expensive at 27 with 1 year left on his contract and a potential knee issue for £40 million. And I don't think anyone's talking about that enough either. If he's got a potential knee issue, when I say potential knee issue, I'm saying that knee could be a problem in the next 3 years. I'm not giving you £40 million for a 27-year-old who's only played for Atalanta, who's not a Brazilian international. I am not giving you £40 million with a player that's got 1 year left on his contract and has something wrong with his knee that could cause an issue for me in the future. We're overpaying massively as well. So I'd walk. I'd say, no, I'm not interested in this. There's too many risks. Now, you lower the price down to 30, I'll do the deal. But I'm not paying you £40 million for a player that you can look at the reports yourself. They're saying there is, you know, he's fine to play at the moment, but there is a potential issue there in the future. So I think I would walk. I would also walk because I think there's better players. What do I think is going to happen? I think United are desperate to do this deal. I think they're desperate to do this deal for the reason I just said. It's a big load of hassle for United on the 10th of July to pull out of this deal and have to go and do another two deals, plus a left back, plus a winger. I think they'll be sat there going, it's worth the risk. Whatever the risk is, it's worth the risk, because if we pull out of this deal now, We probably have to pay more for a replacement, which is a fair point. You know, if you pull out the Edison deal at £40 million and you try and do Kone, Roma maybe wants 60. You know, who's going to be £40 million now? I think United will push ahead on it. Whereas I think Liverpool would have pulled out of it like they did. I think a big club would pull out of it. I think United will push ahead with it. I think they'll take the risk. And on their head be it. Because if it goes wrong, we're all fully aware of it now. So I think that's the truth. I think that is the truth. There is clearly an issue with that knee in the sense that there could be a future problem. And United are clearly getting a second opinion. And they've clearly got a decision to make. And I think the decision will be, we're going to sign him anyway. And they'll cover it up and they'll say, look, we've ran loads of tests and we're really happy. And I think that's what will happen. And I know, like I say, on their head be it. That's absolutely fine. Personally, I can't remember this happening ever. I don't remember this happening ever. And I also think, you know, if there's a risk, should Man United be taking them? And I don't think we're that sort of football club. As I said, if this is Tonali, or this is Anderson, or this is Alex Scott, maybe you take the risk. Maybe you take the risk because they're, you know, they're exciting. Edison is our third choice midfielder. I don't think you take a risk on a player of that ability, in my opinion. I want to get in some of your comments. Patrick says, window will go from bad to worse if one of the essential players we need is bought with a potential injury risk. It's almost like getting half a player. We know he could be out for an extended period, says Patrick. I don't know enough about it, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in the chat. The injury he had was a month, and it was around this meniscus injury in his knee. From what I've read and what people have said to me, it's not that he's injured because he's just played in the World Cup. It's that he might be carrying a bit of an injury, or the injury he had runs a higher risk because he's 27, he's not 22. There's talk of like it can lead to, you know, arthritis and stuff like that. I think it's the risk of what could come. I don't think it's the risk of what he's got. I think that's the thing, Patrick, from what I've read. I think it's like, you know, if you sign Santos at 26 and his injury history, he's never had a problem with his knee, right? If you sign Edison at 27, he's literally had a problem with his knee a year ago and, you know, he could have another one in the next year or two. So I think that's what it's all about. I don't think he's injured. Ami says, three thoughts on Edison. Atletico walked away. Atlanta have sold as Hoyland, who had a bad back and it took him ages. If he's had his meniscus trimmed, he should be fine, says Ami. If there's even a slight element of risk, we should pull out, says Not Prepared. This is not Van Nistelrooy we're talking about. It's not worth the risk. And I think that's a really fair point. Van Nistelrooy did his ACL. We waited a year. I mean, but he was a generational talent. You know, he was an amazing striker. We're talking about, you know, essentially a bench player who's 27 for 40 million quid. You know, I think there are better options, really. I'd say that 7 out of the 10 Ineos signings have made are quite good. Only Yoro, Agate and Xerxes have not worked. This does not make me Glazer bot, says Nick. I think it does. I think it definitely does. And Luke says, no one's talking about it. He's actually a risk without the injury. Ooh, is that a mic drop? Is that a mic drop from Luke? He's saying, forget the risk with the injury. He's a risk anyway. Which you may be right. Let me talk to you about Kone. So, also, as I say, we've had some good information over the last few weeks. Kone, Man United, would love to come to Manchester United. Like, he is that player that Man United dream of in a transfer window. Because if United went to Roma and said, we're interested in Kone, they wouldn't have a problem with personal terms or him wanting to come to us. He would come to Manchester United, absolutely, no problem at all. So, as Ben Jacobs said yesterday, if the Edison deal falls through, Kone is a deal that United can, you know, go and look at. They've already held talks previously last summer. They've held talks with his agent over the last few months because it's the same agent as Tchouaméni. So they can reignite that deal very, very quickly. I think with Kone, there's a couple of things I'd say just to be balanced, right? There are people out there who are, you know, watching him in the World Cup and saying, go and get him. Now, I would never scout a player on a World Cup. I think it's very dangerous. However, there was a great point on That's Football watch along last night I was doing, where somebody said, well, yeah, you can say you can't scout players in a World Cup because international football is slower, it's different, it's a short period of time. But what they were saying is, but I think you can scout French players because look at the players that have been left out. If you're in that French squad or you're being picked for that French team, it's not the same as scouting a player that's doing well for Ivory Coast or Austria. You know, to be in a French squad, you've got to be a bloody good player because look at the players that they miss out on. And to be starting for a French team, you've got to be a good player, which I do take on board. So if you are scouting Kone in a French team for the first time, I sort of would let that one go. I think there's mitigating circumstances. However, some of us know about Manu Kone anyway. Some of us know about Manu Kone from when he was in the Bundesliga. He's obviously now playing in Serie A. He's with Roma. He's a very good player. He's a very good player. I mean, somebody said to me last night, where would you put him though? Would he be the tier one shelf with the likes of Tchouaméni? Would he be the tier two shelf with Alex Scott and Fernandes? Or would he be tier three with the likes of Santos and Ederson? And I said, to be honest, he's probably touching tier two, Kone. I wouldn't say definitively tier two, but he's probably. You wouldn't have a midfield of Kone, Santos and Ederson. Like, that's too many tier three slash twos there. But I'd say he's a tier two signing. And I'd be very happy if we went and got him. I think he replaces Tchouaméni in the French team. And many of us feel that Tchouaméni is perfect for what Man United needs. So, and also, look, if you're bringing somebody in like Santos, who some people think is the second coming of bloody Kante, and some people think he's the second coming of Fred, having Kone takes that pressure off Santos being the second coming of Casemiro. Because, you know, what if he is the second coming of Fred? Having Kone there, who's more experienced and, you know, actually does start football games regularly, I think Kone would be an intelligent signing to complement Santos. Whereas I think Ederson, I don't get the Ederson Santos thing. Part of me thinks, did we rush the Santos deal so that if the Ederson deal falls through, I mean, look at it like this. If the Ederson deal fell through today and we hadn't signed Santos, can you imagine what I'd do, let alone you? Oh, great. Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. I can't speak. Right, listen to this. You've got Spurs buying bloody Tonali and Fernandes. You've got Bruno G to Arsenal. You've got Man City to Ed Anderson, right? I can't even get my words out. What have we done all summer? We've signed bloody Ederson. Ederson, one player, never even played in the Premier League. £40 million for a 27-year-old. And guess what? We haven't even signed him. So here we are on July the 10th and we've signed nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're meant to be the busiest bloody team in the Premier League in this transfer window. We're about as busy as a corpse. That's just a glimpse of what would have happened if Ederson fell through and we hadn't signed Santos. There would have been a bloody meltdown. So I'm starting to think as well, conspiracy theory, did we rush the Santos deal in case we were pulling out the Ederson deal? Because if we'd pulled out the Ederson deal, we wouldn't have got that Santos deal done very quickly because Chelsea would have gone 55, you know. So did we do the Santos deal really quickly in case we're pulling out the Ederson deal so we can at least say, well, we have got a midfielder in? So look, I think Ederson's going to sign. I think it's a huge, huge risk. I think if we get Ederson, we won't get Kone, and that'll be it. But if Ederson deal doesn't happen, we could go and get Kone, and I think that's where we are. And I think most of us are now looking at it. Emotion out. I think this show's been really good so far because I'm not seeing, you know, silly reactions. I think sometimes I love these types of shows because it's analytical, it's fair, and ultimately, I think the issue that is clearly there with Ederson is a risk. The player himself is a risk. I think he was a better player to sign 3 years ago, to be honest with you. I think at 27, I think there's a risk there now. There's a lot of risk with Ederson. And also, I think he's overpriced now. I think £40 million for a year left on his contract with a potential knee issue. That's overpriced. So there's three risks there. I think you walk. when there's a better option in the shop, I think you walk and you sign Kone. And that's what I think United should do. And if we sign Edison, I hope he does really well. But I think Kone and Santos are a better starting point for next season than Edison and Santos. Because Santos, to me, is a huge risk. He could be the next Casemiro. He could be the next Fred, right? So if he is the next Fred, we've got Edison. Well, he could be the next Cleberson. Whereas if he is the next Fred, we've got Kone, who could be the next Herrera, you know, or the next Carrick. You just don't. Kone could be amazing. And I think if Santos struggles, Kone's a better option than Edison, who is also a risk. I like the balance of Kone and Santos and whoever else we're going to buy more than I like the balance of Santos and Edison. And I don't know, you know, if you don't agree with me or you do agree with me, that's fine. But that's where I'm at this morning. I'm sort of like, forget the medical, forget the issues there. I think Kone and Santos is a much better balance than Edison and Santos. I just have a better feeling about Santos and Kone than I do about Edison and Santos. And that better feeling is literally, I can see us getting Champions League football. You know? And that's all I'm bothered about. That is all I'm bothered about. It's can United have a season where they get back into the Champions League? Anything more than that. It's a problem. The bloody hell's just happened in the chat. Just been bottered. Big time. The fuck's that? Do not use that code, anybody. Do not use it. It's got nothing to do with us. Don't do it. Seriously. You are going to lose your bank details and everything. Don't do it. I've not seen that before. Let me sort that out. That's what you call a bot attack. Let's sort that out. Apologies for that. Ineos sent bots. Yeah, just don't whatever. Do not use that code. You'll be paying for it for a long time. Anyway. Let's move on. Oh, I'm going to bring this in now. Now, I think this has got nothing massively to do at the moment. Oh, someone said, can you read the Joe Cole comment on Andre Santos? He said, I'm not surprised there are a few clubs in for him. Well, there wasn't. There was Man United and potentially Newcastle. So straight away, talking out his arse. He's a very good player with massive promise. Granted, he's not a Tonali at the moment, but he could improve into it. He'll definitely get more game time at United with Casemiro out. It's funny. I don't think Beth will mind me telling you this. She was in our chat group this morning saying that, you know, Anderson needed more game time when he was at Newcastle and he had Tonali and Bruno Guimarães ahead of him. So he had to go to Forest to get more game time. And I think that's what Joe Cole's saying as well. Fair point. However... remember that Kelvin says no ball knowledge writing off Santos. Kelvin, right, okay, we can carry on a really intelligent and open conversation show, or we can go into the depths of your stupidity, right? My God, how the hell are we getting this morning?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
I really apologize for this. I mean, some of this stuff shouldn't even be allowed on YouTube. It's we've already blocked a lot of these words. Sorry, this has not happened before. Just bear with me for a moment, because I want to read you this tweet out as well.
Let me go.
So, yeah, just going back to that comment there from Joe Cole and what Beth had said about Santos and how Edison had to leave Newcastle to get game time at Forest. Remember, none of you were talking about Santos a week ago. So all the Santos rimmers who were going, Santos is this, Santos is that, look at Santos stats, look at this, look at that. Where were you a week ago? Where were you a week ago? You know, you weren't here. So I think that... first and foremost, I would say that we've got moderators, thank you. We've already got moderators, and it will stop now. Don't worry about that. It's probably Coxie. I'll put it on to members only in a minute, just for the rest of the show, because then it'll just look. I'm going to do that just because, you know, we're halfway through the show anyway, and we can carry on then. At the end of the day, no one was talking about Santos a week ago, so excuse me for not listening to you when you tell me, oh, he's the next Casemiro or this, that, and the other. We weren't talking about him. So what's happened is United have bought a player that you were not talking about, and yet now you trust United, and that's fine. So anyone who's pulling out the stats about Santos, or Santos is a good player, and all the other content creators are doing it, where's your video on Santos 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, telling us that this is the secret signing Man United should make? Oh, Santos is this. You didn't do them. Basically, United signed Santos, and now you're going, oh, he's amazing. So you trust the Glazers. You trust Ineos. Well done. Let's hope it works out. But my big issue with Santos is this. Let's take the example that he's going to get more game time and he's going to be a good player, yeah? Let's take the example of Beth where, you know, Anderson has ended up being a really good player because he left to go to Forest to get game time, yeah? Anderson has taken 2 years to become the player he is, having left Newcastle. Do we have 2 years to develop Santos into the next Anderson or the next Casemiro? And also, Nottingham Forest is a very different club to Manchester United. Do you think Santos is going to develop over the next 2 years in a Man United shirt, be given the time and the patience to do so? Or do you think he's got to hit the ground running straight away and be good? Otherwise, everything's going to go wrong. And I think that's the question for me. There's no doubt that Santos might be a good player, but all this, oh, potential. When have we ever developed a player? When have we ever developed a player with potential in the team? I mean, people are talking about him as the Casemiro. Ben Jacobs has said yesterday he's the Casemiro replacement. So, hello, lad from the bench, who's 22, from Chelsea. You are now starting for Man United next to another prospect, and you're the Casemiro replacement. And that's my concern. It's like no one was talking about this player a week ago, and now we've signed to the next Casemiro. And if he's going to be that, he needs time, he needs patience, he needs development. I'm not sure that we're the right football club for that. And maybe look, Michael Carrick's a new manager. Maybe that will happen. But I just think almost the Santos army of positivity, I think you might be doing him more trouble, because you're arguing about what a great signing he is. You're almost putting the pressure on him. I would take my stance. I hope he does really well. I think it's a big risk. I hope it does really well. But we've got to remember that this is a huge, huge task in front of him. And there will need to be patience, and there will be bad performances. And if he is going to be the next Casemiro, we'd better be patient over the next year or two. Whereas some of you are so adamant it's a brilliant signing, he's almost got to be dropping 8 out of 10s every game. And I don't think that's realistic. And that's where I always look at things, because you end up at United constantly with this extremity of opinion. He's a right bag of shit. We never should have signed him. He's the next Casemiro. And I'm sort of like, look, it's not who I would have signed. I think it's desperate. I think it's overpriced, but it's not his fault. Let's look at the positives. He's good on the ball. You know, he's young. He could grow into something. But to the positive people, you're basically setting him up to fail because you're talking about him being the next Casemiro, which he won't be straight away. And to the negative people, you're setting him up to fail, saying he's a bag of shit, and any bad game he has, you're going to jump on him. Personally, he's a Man United player. We need to change what we've been for the last 10 years, but we need to do that anyway. We need to be patient. We need to give him a chance. Look at Dorgu. People wrote Dorgu off straight away. 18 months later, he's actually starting to show some progress. So, you know, Santos might not show genuine progress for 18 months. That would be quite normal for a player of his age. So, look, hopefully he does hit the ground running and he is the next Casemiro straight away. Maybe he does hit the ground shit and he's the next Fred straight away. But in 18 months, it might be a very different story. I just think we're going to have to be patient and stop trying to pretend that this is our dream signing, like some people are, because I haven't heard anybody talk about Santos before until 2 or 3 days ago. Right, what I do want to do is talk about this. To me, this is one of the best things I've read all summer. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I don't know whether I follow this account or not, but it's called @CryptoBaran. So Fabrizio Romano put a tweet out saying Bruno Guimaraes deal driven by Arteta, who's pushing to bring him into Arsenal. Deal depends on Newcastle stance, but Arsenal will bid again and personal terms are not an issue, right? So Bruno Guimaraes is a player I would like to sign. You know, you can forget your Edisons, you can forget your Kones, you can forget your Alex Scotts, you can forget your Santos. Bruno Guimaraes was available for £60 million. Casemiro said, that's my replacement. And United said, too old, right? Too old. Not too old for Arsenal, who've just won the league and got to a Champions League final, but too old for Manchester United. So this CryptoBaran says, so he's good enough for the Champions League finalists and Premier League champions, but he's too old for Ineos and the club that hasn't won a league in 13 years. Fucking useless, C-U-N-T-S. Manchester United have owners that are prioritising saving money and lowering the wage bill rather than being ambitious and trying to win silverware. And the reason I think it's such an amazing tweet is because the first bit, I was sort of like, yeah, if he's good enough for Arsenal, who've just won the league, why is he not good enough for us when we haven't won it for 13 years? The first paragraph is like quite, you know, measured. The second one is just goes straight for the throat. You fucking useless, you know what? We've got owners who are prioritising saving money and lowering the wage bill rather than being ambitious and trying to win the silverware. And look, it might be a little bit, to the point for some, but as Jamie says, sometimes a little bit of colourful language in the sense of fucking useless C-U-N-T-S's makes the point stronger, because he's not wrong, is he? Whoever it is, they're not wrong. And I don't need it. I don't need that cup of coffee to wake up to the fact that, look, hopefully Santos will work out, but he's a prospect. Hopefully Edison will work out, but he's a huge risk. We're taking risks on prospects and whatever Edison is. And the champions of England are signing a player that we should have gone for, Bruno Guimaraes. We should have gone for him. Man City are signing a player that we should have gone for, Anderson. Tottenham are signing two players that we should have gone for. So look, let's hope Santos and Edison do work out. But come on, let's not pretend that we're not just trying to, you know, polish a turd. These are not the players that we really would have gone with. Look, if you're a United fan who in the middle of May, when we were talking about our realistic summer transfer window to fight for the top three next season, if you'd have said, well, I'm trying to think about my third one, but definitely Santos and Edison, fair play. You've got what you wanted. But the vast majority of us were building midfields out of Tchouaméni, Anderson, Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes, Alex Scott, Wharton. You know, we weren't building a midfield out of what we're doing it. So I think it's a very, very fair point. But it does make a mockery of what we've done this summer transfer window, because, again, it is about how, you know, how do we save money? Every deal we've done is about saving money. I haven't actually mentioned this, but of course, Santos will be on very, very cheap wages. I don't think anyone's even spoken about that in the last 48 hours since we did the deal. I think £50 million is a lot of money, but the transfer fee isn't actually a massive problem for a business, because that transfer fee may involve some of the Garnacho money. So if Chelsea owe us £20 million for Garnacho, we might say, we'll take that £20 million off, we'll pay you £30 million over 5 years, which works out at £6 million a year. So we might be paying £6 million a year for Santos. It's nothing. Even though it's a £50 million transfer, it might be £6 million a year if we've took £20 million of Garnacho's money off and we're paying it off over 5 years, which Chelsea would love to do, because then they haven't got to pay £20 million for Garnacho. So the transfer fee is never really the problem. You know, you look at Edison at £40 million, we're probably paying that off over 4 years, £10 million a year. It's nothing. It's the wages United don't like, because if you're on 250 grand a week, that's £1 million a month. That's 12. You can't defer that. You have to pay the wages. It goes out each month. So Santos and Edison are probably on 100 grand a week. Very little over that. So they're ridiculously cheap players. And that's where that tweet is spot on. Don't get swayed by transfer fees. They're irrelevant, really. It's the wages. That's where United have pulled out of deals. That's where United have gone for deals. Tenali wanted 250 grand a week. Mateus Fernandez has probably got 200 grand a week. Elliot Anderson, 250 grand a week. Bruno Guimaraes will be 250 grand a week. I think they're all worth it, by the way, but United don't want to pay that. United have a wage ceiling of 200 grand a week. So not only are we buying prospects and risks, we're also buying players that are cheap. So apparently Edison's £75,000 a week. So we are going cheap. Deliberately, we're going cheap. And then we're trying to pretend that we're signing the next Casemiro, or we're signing the next this, that, and the other, when really we're looking at players and how much their wages are. So people are right to call it out. Obviously, you'll get a load of shit for calling it out, because people will say, I'll stop being so negative. But ultimately, you don't need a cup of coffee to wake up and realise that United are just signing players who are cheap. And fundamentally, that will cause us problems in the future. I thought there was a brilliant comment the other night where somebody said, what these cheerleaders for these deals don't realise is it's going to cause us a massive problem in the future, because we're going to end up being RB Leipzig selling our talent. Because what will happen is, if Mainoo becomes one of the best midfielders in the world, or Santos becomes one of the best midfielders in the world, in 2 or 3 years, they'll knock on the door and they'll say, Arsenal will give me 300 grand a week. Real Madrid will give me 350 grand a week. If you want me to stay, I want 300 grand a week. And United will go, we're not paying any more than 200 grand a week. And then they'll leave. And United will go, put the story out that they forced to move. We're going to make profit. That's coming in the future. I don't know whether anyone's realised that. That's coming in the future. The problem with the wage limit is we won't break it for contract renewals either. So these players will be putting transfer requests in if they become good. So in the case of Santos, he's 22. Let's imagine he becomes the next Casemiro. At 25, he's looking around and he's going, I want 300 grand a week. United go, well, that's our wage limit. We can't break that. And then suddenly Real Madrid come in and go, we'll give you £120 million for him. United go, that's £70 million pure profit. So this wage limit thing, everybody should be talking about it, because it's not just about signing players. It's about renewing contracts. We will not hand out big wages. So we will have a problem in the future. And people can't see it. You know, it's like climate change. Let's not go there. But you know, when there's a problem and people deny it, even though it's clearly going to happen, or they avoid it, oh, I'll deal with it in the future. This wage limit thing is going to be a problem for us in the future. Because you know the club, right? They want Rashford gone because he's on 300 and something grand a week. They also know that Bruno will be gone in the next 2 or 3 years. That's another one gone. When Bruno's gone and Rashford's gone, our highest earner is Mason Mount. And when he's gone, you're down to 200 grand. That's the long-term plan for United. We've got no intention of pushing our wage bill up again. And that will hurt us on contract renewals as well as recruitment. What do you think about Locatelli? Oh, my God. I mean, Gores, we're talking about Edison potentially having a knee issue. And you want to go for Locatelli, who I don't even need to read transfer market injury history to tell you he's had problems, big problems, injury. No, you can't go near Locatelli, Godzilla. He said he's in great form and he's as good as Rodri and Tchouaméni. But what do you think? No, he's too... I'd say Locatelli's too old as well. You've got me curious now. Fair play. Locatelli's 28, so they wouldn't go anywhere near him. Bro's too old. And how hot are you today, Mark? Well, I think I'm looking good. No, it's 26.4 degrees at the moment. I've got one of these. So I literally have my temperature. Last night, when I was doing the game, the Morocco game, it was 29.4. in here. So I think it's going to be another hot one today. Oh, 7 o'clock show tonight because it's Belgium. What a shit game that was last night. I mean, World Cup watch. That was absolutely shit, wasn't it? Mazraoui as well. Played him at centre-back, which shows his... I think Mazraoui should be starting for Man United, by the way. I really do. But yeah, Locatelli... Oh, to be honest, I'm mixing Locatelli up with Spinazzola. His injury record's not that bad at all. And one of his injuries is coronavirus. And if you're talking about conspiracies, some people think that doesn't exist. No, no, Locatelli's had nothing. I think I have mixed him up with Spinazzola. So it's not his injury record, Matt Godzilla. It's his age. Yeah, He's 28 and he'll be 29 next season. So forget about it. Forget about it. We won't be doing that. Also, if we're not going to go for Bruno Guimarães, who's the same age, better, and played in the same league, we'd never go for somebody like that, to be honest with you. Never in a million years. It's becoming clearer to me that Ratcliffe only bought into United to invest in the stadium project and reap the profits. No desire for cups or titles. Sound dog, everything Sir Jim Ratcliffe has done is motivated by money. The reduction of the wage bill brings more money into the club. The sacking of half the workforce brings more money into the club. The increase of ticket prices when we weren't even in Europe brings more money into the club. The stadium regeneration brings more money into the club. It's basically everything's business. He's put 1.8 billion of his own money in and he's probably got at least 50% of that back already in increased value in the club. And that's the game. All he's doing as a businessman is making that 1.8 billion become 3.6 billion in value. And it amazes me how some United fans still fall for the whole, he supports the club, this, that, and the other. It's completely about money. Everything he's done is about money. Champers says, I tore my meniscus in my knee and now have transferred hip issues. We showed our hand by signing Tchouaméni was our dream when we were nowhere near close to getting him. It's embarrassing. Why should any tier one player believe anything we see, says Jid. Well, I still think it's a big, big issue around who the marquee signing is going to be, because if Edison signs, and I think he will, and I think we shouldn't sign him now, knowing what we know. But when Edison signs, we still need that third midfielder, the marquee signing. And I don't know who that's going to be. I can't tell you who it's going to be. But what I would say is that...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
what I would say is, you're right. Anderson, we told the world he was our priority signing for 9 months and got nowhere near him. Tchouaméni, we told the world for 3 months he was our dream signing and we got nowhere near him. And look, you can be happy about Santos, that's fine. You can be happy about Edison, that's fine. But the club itself has failed. And some people don't like this, but let me tell you, right? Publicly, we have failed this summer transfer window. You can't polish that turd. You can't paper that crack. You can be happy with the players that are brought in, but own it. These are options D, E, and F. Factually, the club has failed in its objectives this summer transfer window. It might get out of a situation where you're happy with it, but it's failed. Anderson was the priority. He's at Man City. Tchouaméni was the dream. He's staying at Real Madrid. Matheus Fernandes was a priority. He's wearing a Spurs shirt. That's three factual signings that United wanted to make that they haven't done. Now, maybe Tonali was ahead of other people as well. I would say he probably was. So we have factually failed. That's not up for debate. That's not negativity. You can twist and turn and you can pretend and you can glaze the club all you like. The fact is, through their own doing, 9 months of Anderson propaganda, 3 months of Tchouaméni propaganda, and 6 weeks of Fernandes propaganda, they didn't get any of them. So ABC, none of them. Doesn't mean we can't still have a good transfer window, but in the ambition stakes and we're a competent football club stakes, they have failed. They have failed. It just depends how much of a failure you think it is. All we've heard about this summer is midfielders. Realistically, when we're going to get a left back, says Light Walk Gaming. I've got no idea about the left back, mate. I really don't believe the Lewis Hall story. I think Lewis Hall sort of falls into the category of everything we wouldn't do in relation to how much Newcastle would want. With Santos and Mainoo, we need legs to press belabor, says Mark. What do you think? I've done Locatelli. Gomez wouldn't force his way out of Newcastle to United, says Ed W. Well, you don't know that. It's okay. We've got a new goalkeeper, says Ross. If he works, it's a big win for Favel, says Robert McCormack. Yes, you're right. But you know what, Robert? I might shock you here, but I'm a little bit tired of this. Wilcox does it all the time and he gets proven to be wrong. Remember last summer where Wilcox was trying to put it out there that it was he got Mbeumo, and then Mbeumo comes out and says it was Amrim who persuaded him, and Cunha does the same. And then it comes out about Le Mans that it's Tony Cotton, and then it comes out about Sesko that it's Favel. I don't actually think it's massively fair that we keep classing signings as signings, because even if Favel walks into the boardroom and says, I know we've messed up on Fernandes, Anderson and Tchouaméni, let's get Santos. If Carrick says no and Wilcox says no and Berarda says no, that never happens. So how is it Favel signing? And the same with Liam Delap. If Wilcox walks in and says, we're getting Liam Delap, and everyone says, you're an idiot, we're not doing it, we don't get Delap. So, I think, as much as I think there is incompetence on that board and there is specialism on that board, I do think you have to look at it as a collective. Definitely. Board and manager have got zero charisma, says Marlowe. They couldn't convince a horny teenager to enter a strip club. That combined with zero self-awareness is dangerous. Kone, Santos on Belabor. Kiss my face, says Keel. So you're saying you don't want Edison, Mark? Get to the point, mate. Get to the point. What I know, what people have told me, who I trust, and what is clearly going on, I think United are taking huge risks on Edison. He's a huge risk as a player. We are overpaying. And there's clearly concern about future problems with his injuries, right? You walk. One of my favourite films is Heat. I mentioned this last night. Heat with De Niro, Pacino, Val Kilmer, etc., right? There's a brilliant line that they're basically high-end robbers, right? And De Niro says, my principle is, and it takes a lot of discipline, never attach yourself to anything in your life that you can't walk away from in 10 seconds if you feel the heat coming around the corner. And that's basically like, if he's got a girlfriend or whatever like that, and, he's doing a robbery and he sees the police coming around the corner, he has to have the discipline to get in that car, go, leave the country, get away, and never come back. That's discipline. Now, that's a film, obviously, but this is a... I mean, we're not asking United to do that, right? I mean, we might need to rob a bank so we can buy some players, but on a serious note, what we're asking United to do is you're buying a 27-year-old who's never played in the Premier League, who only has a year left on his contract. You're giving £40 million, which is a risk anyway, and then there's clearly something popping up in the medicals that maybe, you know, you might want to have a look at. And then there's a better player available for around the same price. I mean, come on. It's not that difficult. You walk. Don't take. There's too many risks. There's too many red flags. You walk. Yeah. You know, if there's a river, no, there's a lake, right? And it's going to take you 20 minutes to walk around it, or it's going to take you 5 minutes to swim across it, right? And there's a sign that says, beware of piranha. I'm walking 20 minutes. I know it's going to take longer, but I'm going to keep my legs. You know, I'm not going to take the risk. But I think United are looking at this and going, if we pull out of this deal, we've got to go and do another deal. And we already need another midfielder. And it's the 10th of July. And we're not very good at our job anyway. And we're just going to make a load more job. Whereas if we sign him, we've got two midfielders and we've only got to buy one. And I think that temptation's going to ultimately win over. They're going to take the risk because it's less work. 2 years at Newcastle is not the same as United, says Abdul. Manu Kone has a very questionable injury pass, says Dazza. Jason Wilcox official says, do you think I'm doing a bad job? Make fun of me by calling me Coxie and now you're blaming me for the bot attack. I'm suing you. See you in court, says Jason Wilcox official. All right, Coxie. Chris Davies, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you. Members, exciting stuff is coming, I'm telling you. Which tier would you currently place Mainoo? Well, Ross, I wouldn't put Mainoo in any tier because he's already here and he's a really important midfield for us. Mainoo could end up being the next sort of Paul Scholes type midfield for us. He could end up being the next Scott McTominay type midfield for us. And you know what I mean by that? I think Mainoo's got the potential to be really, really good. Some people think he's overrated, but he's our player and we're definitely going to, you know, build around him and try and get the best out of him. So buying a player with potential problems who may not play many minutes is worse than overpaying for Tonali. Just wasting time right now, says John. I think this is a great point by John as well. What the hell are we doing? You're overpaying for a 27-year-old who's never played in the Premier League, who's potentially got issues in his medical. You know, we're doing that instead of spending a little bit more for a Matheus Fernandes or a Tonali or a Bruno Guimarães. It is, again, it's underwhelming signings with risk compared to spending a little bit more. This is what you get when you pay more money, though. If you sign Tonali, you get less of a risk and no issues in the medical. You know, if you sign Matheus Fernandes, you get less of a risk and no issues in the medical. When you start going cheaper, there's more risk. It's as simple as that. Yeah, the wages are cheaper, but there's a reason for that. They can't demand the big them. But look, on this medical problem with Ederson, I can't think of a deal. If anyone can, when was the last time we had such drama around a medical? For me, it's always like, here we go, pending medical, and the medical gets done. Look at Santos, bang. Have you ever met Emily Derry in real life, says Ray's. It's really me. It's me, just glazing myself, really. No, I haven't. Edison Santos belabor, says George. Wouldn't be happy with that. What if they're doing this to renegotiate Santos, says Leshen. What would the angle on that be? Godzilla says, Mark, what do you think about Locatelli? I've done that one. Is the guitar memorabilia or can you play it? Says Matt. Oh, I can play it, mate. I can play it. You want to tune into That's Football. I know it's not Ineos model, but Bruno would fit this team instantly. Why aren't we even linked to him? Says Ami. Look, I've always said Bruno Guimarães was my sort of nuanced Casemiro replacement because he's a leader. He's a fan favourite. He's a brilliant player. You put Bruno Guimarães in that midfield next to Mainoo, I'm excited. So well done to Arsenal. they're going to finish above us absolutely definitely next season. I think we all know that. But that's a really intelligent signing. Arsenal have gone from Premier League champions to another level with that signing. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant signing. And whilst Arsenal are doing that, we're taking risks. We're taking risks on Edison. We're taking risks on Santos. They might pay off, but you don't see Arsenal doing that. How's your coffee? Getting my cup right now, says George. What do you think? Who do you think will flop first, if you had to guess, Santos or Edison? I mean, I hope neither of them flop, but I would say Edison's got the more pressure now, because I think there's more excitement around Santos than there is Edison, and that might be an age thing, it might be an ability thing, but I think Edison. Yeah, I just think it's really harsh on him. You know, I understand that. It really is harsh on him. You know, he's a victim in many ways. But I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure. Yeah, yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Rashford, Mark? I think it's a mess. I think ideally everybody would have wanted him to go to Barcelona. I think Barcelona have, done what's in their interests. I think Rashford would like to be going somewhere. I think Man United would love him to be going somewhere. And I'm trying to think of an analogy here. Not a lot of people will have been in this situation. Imagine you're in a relationship and you bought a house together, yeah? And you're not getting on. You did used to really like each other, and there is a respect there, but you're not getting on. And, you move out into rented accommodation, yeah? And whilst you're out on rented accommodation, you start seeing other people, you know, going out with your mates, you're having a good time. They're doing the same. And, you know, you're amicable. You start to, you know, get on okay, because you're living your life and they're living theirs, yeah? And then one day, the landlord comes along and says, I'm increasing the rent to a point where you can't afford it. So you can't find anywhere else. So you have to go back and live with them. It's awkward, isn't it? But then you've got to put the pretense on that you get on, you know, and maybe you do get back together. Maybe you start sharing the room together, you know, maybe all that sort of stuff. But how often does that actually work? I think the breakup was right for Rashford and United's board. And I think it was for the right reasons. I think if they get back together, I'm never a big fan on going back. I'm just not. I think the problems that caused the separation are still there. And you're very lucky if you can get back together and everything's happy again. So that's my thought on it. But Rashford's better than nothing on the left wing. There's no doubt about that. And he can play up front. So, you know, I can... ultimately, we're not a football club. We're a business, aren't we? So we should always take the football out of it and look at the business. You know, the two players we've brought in, very cheap wages. Lovely jubbly, right? You bring Rashford back, expensive wage, but can play left wing and striker. What do Man United need? Left winger and a striker. Oh, we can play left wing and striker. So we're basically getting two for one. I mean, it's still an expensive wage, but United might look at it like that. I mean, look, the Rashford thing, I still think there's a move somewhere for Rashford. I just don't know where it is. So we've got to seriously consider whether he's going to come back or not. But I think, in fairness to the Rashford thing, let's see what happens. But I can't believe Xerxes still a Man United player. I can't believe we've sold nobody. I can't believe after last season, nobody's gone. Because it wasn't that season. It was Bruno, Casemiro, Maguire and Carrick's coaching team that found a way once a week to get us enough points to get in the top five. There was a load of chances last season in that squad, and they're all coming back for pre-season. And I'm like, I can't believe. I mean, Ugarte, you can't do anything about it. He's injured. But that squad has issues, and we're not getting rid of anybody. And it's the second year this has happened. You know the Europa League final? We sold nobody from that final. Garnacho didn't start. That Europa League final was one of the worst performances I've seen in a Man United team ever. And I remember saying it last summer, we've got rid of none of those players. Those 11 players that turned up, actually, I think Rasmus went, didn't he, on loan, but those, predominantly that whole team that didn't turn up against Spurs in that final are here again. And the same thing's happened again. We didn't have an amazing team season last year. A few individuals took us to a level which was fantastic. And we've removed nobody. And again, this is a footballing decision. A football team would remove some of those players because they're not good enough. A business says, keep them. Removing them will lose money. And then we've got to replace them, keep them. We make decisions that are financial. And the reason some of the shit from last year will be here next year and some of the shit from 2 years ago is still here is because financially, we don't want to rock the boat. So we've got players rolling back into Carrington with a smile on their face. But their chances, they've not done anything for 2-3 years and they should be moved on. City would move them on. Arsenal would move them on. Liverpool would move them on. We don't move them on. So I don't know why. One, I don't know why these players want to hang around when they're not part of the plans. And two, I don't know why we're not pushing them out the door. But again, for me, that's weak. You know, I want to see a manager and a board that is strong. I want to see a manager and a board that befits Manchester United. And I think it's just arms around the world, you're all welcome. You know, when really, you think back to the Sir Alex days, look at the players he got rid of. First team players, Jaap Stam, I've had enough of you. Van Nistelrooy, I've had enough of you. Beckham, I've had enough of you. Keane, I've had enough of you. We used to get rid of first team players. Now we don't even get rid of bench players. How have we not sold anybody this summer? It's a terrible indication, again, of a weak leadership. We're incompetent when it comes to, well, some people would say recruitment, but I'd certainly say in relation to removing players. It's just been completely ignored. And look, it's unfair to focus on Xerxes, but he's a prime example because he actually has a value. You know, I can't say Mason Mount because no one will buy him, but, you know, no one's going to buy Luke Shaw. But Xerxes actually has a value. That's not a hard deal to do. Pull him into the office. You're not part of the plans, mate. You're a good player. Get your agent working. You're for sale. I'm not going to use you next season. That should have been done on June the 1st. Then throughout June, his agent speaking to Italian clubs who want him, saying, yeah, he's looking to move. By July the 1st, you've got two or three offers for 30 million quid. You've got your money back. He's gone. Why haven't we done that? Because replacing him will cost 50. Oh, let's just keep him then. That's what we're doing. Unambitious again. We're keeping Xerxes because it's cheaper than replacing him. And that's a business decision. That's not a football decision. Simple as that. Man United are acting like Spurs under Daniel Levy. Exactly, Elvis. Some really good comments today. Came out today, Real made 100 million from bench players, says Sound Dog. Dale says 100 million plus Rashford for Lewis Hall and Bruno Guimaraes. Rashford won't go to Newcastle, mate. Rashford won't go to a Premier League club. He won't. And why should he? You know, why should he do that? I think there's only one club he would seriously consider. And even then, I'm not sure he would do it. And that would be Arsenal. But I don't think any other club you've got. Why would you go and play for Spurs or Newcastle who aren't in the Champions League and play in the same league as the club that, you know, you grew up with? He won't do it. And they won't be able to afford him anyway. Brandon says, Mark, serious thought, maybe United got the Edison deal done knowing he had problems to make us look like we'd done something. Maybe the plan all along. Look, I think we'll sign him. I think it could be a here we go, you know, official today, but I think we should walk. And I know that's harsh, but, you know, in football, you have got to be ruthless. There's a better option on the shelf. I'd be a much happier person with Santos and Kone than Santos and Edison. So let's see what happens. Ami says, over 10,000 votes and almost 90% don't want Edison. A couple of bad games and the abuse will be relentless. Plus, he's a risk anyway, coming from Serie A. I mean, that's a great point, Ami. I'd never really thought of it like that. It is 88% for Kone and 12% for Edison. United need to be taking note of this. You know, you can't continue with a deal because it's a hassle to replace him. There's a huge, huge amount of risk now. And who's to blame? Not Edison. It's the club now. But that, you know, you can't blame Edison. The club have a power. They can use that power. And they might be pleasantly surprised by the patience they get pulling out of this deal and going somewhere else. But I don't think they will. I think they'll stick with it. But if they do, we all know the reasons why. So great show today. Arsenal, a team trying to win the Champions League. Man United are trying to win a PR campaign and they're failing miserably, says Per Turok. Are you surprised we've got Darlow when Bielsa is still here, says Kristen? But I mean, there's still weeks left in the window. Bielsa won't be here. Who to go for a third midfielder to salve our midfield, says Prian. $1 million question, mate. I've got no idea. Looking back at last year where we dodged a bullet on Delap, who do you think we will sit in a year and be glad we missed out on from this window, says Slazy? I'd say Spurs might be the place to look. You know, they finished fourth from bottom the last 2 years. They bought two players that we want, Tonali and Fernandez. If Spurs finish mid-table and they're a bit mediocre, I imagine one of those will be people going, ah, ha, ha. You know, they've got to have a good season, I suppose. Yeah. James says, Kone's had two or three hamstring injuries and two knee ligaments. I mean, I've not looked at his injury records. Let's do that very quickly before I go. I haven't got that far with him. He's a good player. He's only 25 and he's only just turned 25. He's 2 years younger than Edison. He's a better player than Edison. But I haven't got as far as looking at his injury record because with this signing Edison, I didn't think there was any prospect of us going for him. Injury history. Depends what type of knee injury it is as well, you know. A cruciate ligament injury you can come back from with no problem at all. I mean, he's got a hamstring in April, hamstring in February. So he's had two hamstring problems this season. I mean, there's nothing. He had a knee injury in June 2023. I mean, that's 3 years ago, and he's not had a knee problem since. So looks like he's had a few muscular problems in the last couple of years, but I mean, look, run a medical. I'd guarantee he'd probably pass it, to be fair. As I say, this is really rare with Edison. You never get a player failing the medical. You never do. What are your thoughts about Camavinga, given how things have played out and current United window? Camavinga, before he went to Real Madrid, I'd have been all over it. Camavinga now just feels like taking a player that wasn't good enough for Real Madrid, which sometimes is okay, but I just don't. There's something about the Camavinga thing that just doesn't appeal to me, Godzilla, to be honest. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. We're back at 2, and remember, 7 o'clock tonight because it's Spain against Belgium at 8 o'clock on That's Football. What a fantastic show this morning. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and I'll speak to you all a bit. Take care. I can't even get my words out. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.